Welcome to the Good Work Show, where we highlight the good that makes Atlanta work. To learn more about the show and how your company can tell their story, like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Good Work Show. Now, please welcome the hosts of the Good Work Show, Elaine Armstrong and Trenise Lyons.
Audience, welcome to this week's Good Work Show. We have a great one for you. One of my favorite organizations, March of Dimes, coming on the show. I don't have any purple today, and that is rare.
And odd.
I know, very rare, but that is the color.
Oh, yes.
March of Dimes color is purple, but that isn't
is that
why I like them.
I was gonna say it's just I know it's not why, but it really works for you.
It does, and it's a great shade of purple too. By
it
the
is
way.
A very good vibrant yes. purple.
Yes.
It's not a sad purple, whatever that would be.
I don't know, but yes. So I am again this year on the executive leadership team to help support March for Babies. So if you hear me talking about it or you see us post about it, that's why.
That's how this works.
Yeah, that's how this works. I get to invite my favorites on. May 2nd is the March for Babies. And anyway, Hillary Dunson, who is the senior development manager, is going to come on the show and talk to us about March of Dimes. So if you haven't caught one of our previous interviews about March for Dimes, you're in for a treat. You're going to learn about the organization, about what they do in the space of advocacy and research and education, and then also about how you can tap in a really cool, interesting, fun way and just make it easy on yourself, do something great for the future of moms and babies here in the state of Georgia. So
yeah, because we need the help.
We absolutely need the help. Yeah.
It ain't good.
No.
So after Hillary, we're going to hear from Eileen Price, and she is the CEO of In the City Camps, and she's going to talk to us about a really cool, unique summer camp that she's been running right here in Atlanta. So did you go to camp?
I went to camp a couple of times.
Like sleepaway camp.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I went in fourth grade for a week, in fifth grade for a week, and that was like during the school year because we had trips where you could go in the school year.
Oh, I did that. So I guess maybe I did go to camp.
Yeah, I did
that. But it was a week.
Yeah, I did that twice. And then in the summer.
Was it like a special camp or was it just like?
No, we went to Yosemite in fourth grade. And that was like awesome. I mean, I grew up in California, so that was fantastic. Except for the snowshoeing, which I did that one time and I will never,
like
ever
told
do
us
again.
The story before.
The snowshoeing was
doesn't sound fun.
Not the jam. So I learned that way early on in fourth grade, something I don't want to do again. And then in fifth grade, I don't remember what the camp name was, but it was kind of the same concept. It was like out in this mountainy type place. And then I did camp with my daughter when she was a Girl Scout. We went to overnight camp with the Girl Scouts, and then that was probably the one that I will not ever do again. There was a mouse in the cabin and I was like, oh, I don't do that kind. So the other cabins at the other two experiences were like, you know, they were
insulated.
Yes, this other one I feel like it wasn't, and I just, you know, I was like, oh no, this isn't
that doesn't.
And then I did a summer camp, but I think we only stayed like 2 days, and we did Big Sur. So, I mean, I had some really cool places that we went for camp.
I did space camp growing up in South Florida. This is what you do. I did space camp, but again, it wasn't like a summer camp. It was it was a sleepaway, but it was during the school year. So I did space camp, and then I did sea camp, which was probably my favorite. That was in middle school, and we actually went down to the Keys.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, you just took boats out for 5 days and you went snorkeling. Granted, I'm sure we learned something, but
you still don't remember it.
Thinking back, I'm like, I remember playing volleyball. I remember
going
swimming
snorkeling.
And like waking up and like going out on boats all day. And then, you know, we remember, okay, like disposable cameras.
Mm-hmm.
So this was like when the waterproof disposable cameras were coming out. And then
I ever had that one because I feel like it probably wouldn't have worked.
They work. Yeah. Oh, okay. Like you could literally put them
but
down.
But it had that cardboard on it. Didn't
it had plastic. That cardboard? No, it had plastic around the cardboard so you could take it down into the water.
That's so funny that those things had cardboard on it.
They were cardboard.
I bought that for a gag gift like a couple years ago for somebody.
A disposable camera?
Disposable camera and a photo album.
That's hilarious.
Because you had to What are you gonna do with this? You gotta develop it.
But yeah, I remember having like my, and I probably, if I look hard enough, I could probably find those pictures. But like, I just remember like I had my little plastic camera and I would go down and take pictures of the fish. But I, you know, you say that my Christmas tree lot thing wasn't real, but I still think about the Christmas tree lot story.
Oh, well, the like Christmas tree lot, yeah.
But there's just like things that we, yes, that is the camera.
Yeah.
And it had the strap so that
it
you could.
It looks like a play school.
It looks
camera.
Like a toy.
It's like a toy.
But it was the water and sport cameras and you could take
Did
them.
The flash work?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, they actually
I
worked.
Mean, I knew it was a thing, but those disposable cameras are not cheap, by the way.
They
I,
are not.
I bought it.
Well, they weren't cheap then,
it
but they're
not
definitely
cheap
not. Not now. And that one was, I mean, that was like one, you know, you had the list of stuff that you had to bring to camp, and that was like one of the
camera.
Things. You had to bring a waterproof, the water camera so that you could yeah. take pictures. I just remember we had to do the swimming test because, which seemed late. Okay. It seemed a little late to do a swimming test for
sea
camp.
When you were already at the
When camp? You had already spent all of your parents' money, you had got driven a bus from all the way down to Key West, and then we determined whether or not you can swim.
Yeah.
Like,
well, maybe you could put it on there, but then if you told a story and you didn't really and you couldn't swim,
but the messed
they had
up,
to validate that.
The messed up thing though, the swim test, there was like this lagoon. It wasn't a pool.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure there were lifeguards somewhere, but I don't remember them. Like in my mind, I don't remember
yeah,
them.
Yeah.
But there was like this lagoon in the middle of the camp, and it was kind of like bunks and not weird, but it was like a camp. It wasn't ritzy. So there was like this lagoon thing. And they're like, swim out to the buoy, swim over here, stand there, tread water long enough to tell a joke, and then swim back. And I was like, it's not. Crazy.
Did you have a life vest on?
No, because you had to swim.
Yeah.
So that was the crazy part. I was like, so if you had, you know,
they wanted to validate
this story the whole way because you wanted to tell because you wanted to go to camp.
They're going to test to make sure.
I mean,
so if you didn't pass the test, did you just sit on the sidelines?
I don't know what happened to the kids who couldn't pass the test. I guess. I don't know because we still had to wear life vests and stuff when you were on the boat. That didn't change. So I don't know.
They just wanted to see, okay, well,
how good of you were.
That way, if they had to rescue, they're like, Trinise, she could save herself. I'm going to go
this
get this kid.
This kid has no hope.
Right.
But it just seemed,
triage. That's
yeah.
what they had to triage.
It just seemed kind of odd to me. I was like, now that I think about it, that you would have to get all the way down there.
Yeah.
Because like if you legit couldn't swim.
Then I guess you
maybe there were
the
lessons.
Sidelines.
Maybe they taught you how to swim. I don't know.
But
I didn't have to do that. I knew how to swim. So
well.
But anyway, so we're anyway. But Eileen's going to talk about camps that are happening here in Atlanta, mm-hmm. and I feel like by the end of it, I'm going to want to go to camp. And
you know, I went to camp this summer. Or last summer, I went to Camp Twin Lakes.
Did you?
I did.
For
yeah.
how long?
I went for 2 days for Leadership Atlanta. We
oh,
had
that's
our
right.
opening retreat. It was in camp. We had bunks. It was camp.
It
we
was
ate
camp.
The camp food. We did the camp. It was the camp experience with,
I think,
with the leaders of Atlanta.
That's
it was
cool.
great. Camp Twin Lakes was fun, but I'm not the camp person. I just
I
am not going camping on my own.
Well, I feel like for adult camps, the way that they've created glamping, so like glamour, so
yeah.
like there needs to be that for
can't you just say you're going on vacation to
yes.
somewhere where there's a cabin
or you
or
go
like
on vacation
a wood,
like,
what's the wood house called the
a
wood
cabin
oh okay for some reason I was drawing a blank on
like
the
hut?
Log cabin that's what I'm thinking
oh, like
log
a log cabin.
Cabin
I mean I guess
because they have those really fancy ones like are on
well,
HGTV that you go on and you just open the door and look at the snow. You don't actually go in it.
Right. But I mean, there's something to say about the experience and like going with people and doing the activities and
well, that's where Dale is. Dale, our camera, he's at camp. He left us to go to camp.
That's true. I guess.
And he went to camp in a really cool place.
So
he
can
went
you
to,
call
to
it
Canada.
Camp if you just go on? So like
he's
if
in
I
an RV.
To,
I feel like that's camp. That's
but if
camp.
I get a group of people and say we rent a boat. And we go.
If you go in your backyard, it's camping. They call that, you know, if you get a tent.
No,
in
not
your
camping.
Backyard.
I don't mean camp. I don't mean oh. camping. I mean like go to camp. Like, can
oh.
you just call anything camp? So like, if I get a group of friends, and we get a boat
really
for a
call
week,
that camp.
And we do activities like we swim, we snorkel.
No.
You know,
I
whatever.
Think that's just vacation.
You can't call that camp. I'm going. To
I
camp.
Think it has to be like a destination. You know, like you're going to. this, they call
it
camp.
Well, I went to sea camp, and that was, I mean, if I did all of those things just on a better boat, is that not still camp?
I feel like that's just vacation.
Okay.
Just well, call it vacation.
I'll do that. I will be more than happy just to take a vacation.
Yeah, well that's, cool. Anyway, March of Dimes and In the City Camps coming on the show today. Great organizations, one supporting like babies, and then one, once you get a little bit older, you can go. And they have a variety of different ages, too, for
yeah.
that. For
and
our,
it's
In the City Camps.
Not Sleepaway.
Yeah.
But the experience, but not. So if your kids are not too keen on the idea, mm-hmm. or you're not too keen on the idea of them going away, it's an option.
Yeah.
You can get rid of them all day long, which may yeah. be ideal.
That's the kind of stuff that we had a summer program every year when we were growing up. Actually, not every year. I think when we got to middle school, we stopped doing that. We just went outside and swam. You just woke up, just go to the pool, come out, come in, eat something, go back out, play outside. That was the camp. Occupy yourself, do right. something constructive.
Do something.
Until your parents get home.
Both my parents were educators, so they were home.
Yeah.
So that was our time, you know, for the most part, to go on vacations and that kind of stuff. So now that I think about it, it makes sense. But like when my mom would pack us off to her mom for 2 weeks. So I guess that camp. Was camp, because that was going off into the country and we had to go out there and pick peas and
dig yes. farm camp.
It was farm camp and it was free. So even
yeah, that's
better.
Like, that's even better. Yeah. No,
and we would
didn't
go
have
for
that.
Like 2 week stretches to the country. You know, now that I think about it. And I'm like, my parents were sitting at home.
No, they probably
actually
were on vacation.
I don't know where they were to this day. That's I don't know where
they
were
on vacation. They just went on the better vacation.
I
when
feel
you,
like
when
I
your,
need...
you and your sister weren't there.
I feel
you
like
never
I
know where your parents were. They no might idea. Have been in Rome or something.
I need to call my dad when I leave here.
He's not going to tell you.
He probably won't. Anyway.
Like, you don't need to know what I was doing. I was busy. That's what he was busy.
That's probably true.
Yeah.
And on that note, we'll be back yes. after the break with Hillary with the March of Dimes.
You're listening to The Good Work Show. Audience, welcome back to The Good Work Show. We are excited to be sitting here with a representative from one of our favorite nonprofits, March of Dimes.
Yay! See, this is why we need the applause button.
I know, this yeah. is why, because my little
right
applause
here.
Isn't that great. But Hillary Dunson is the Senior Development Manager for March of Dimes, the Atlanta branch. And so welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so March of Dimes has been on a couple times for the show. We talk about March of Dimes a lot. And
she's always trying to.
I know. I'm always trying to. I'm always
she's always
on my committee.
That's right.
That's why we
she
have her on our committee.
She uses the show as a platform, and
of course.
Suckers all of us, but it's for a fantastic cost. We don't mind.
That's right. That's right. So, if folks aren't familiar with March of Dimes, and we hope that they are, but if they aren't, give us a little history lesson. Tell us about the organization and what you do.
Okay, so the organization has been around since 1938, just over 80 years. Initially, we focused on polio, but once that was eradicated, they moved their initiative, and now the mission is to focus on strong moms and healthy babies. I mean, healthy moms, strong babies. Healthy moms produce strong babies. The issues that we are facing are prematurity. The prematurity rates in the U.S. are way too high for us to be a developed country. In addition to maternal mortality, those are the two focuses yeah. that we have right now.
Yeah, wow. And mm-hmm. and you know what? A lot of people probably don't realize, maternal mortality. I mean, they probably don't think about it so much. But mm-hmm. I think there was a stat that I, or at least a fact that I heard recently about. You think about maternal mortality. It might not be that they that the deaths are happening in the hospital. It could be. A couple of days, maybe a week later, but it's still due to complications from the delivery.
So yeah. we look at mothers who die within a year of giving childbirth.
Oh, wow.
So that's what our focus is. And we just finished passed funding with our state legislature to extend Medicare to yeah. up to 6 months, because if a woman does not have insurance, they can get Medicare up to 6 months, 6 weeks post birth. Mm. And what we're finding that there are a lot of complications that arise after the 6 weeks. So we're extending, we work to extend that funding for mothers so they have care. And it also encourages them to go back for postnatal care, that postnatal checkup as well.
Yeah.
Because they do the prenatal, but then postnatal, the 6 weeks the baby's here, they're like, oh, I'm fine.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And they're not necessarily.
Mm. How long did mom stay in the hospital after just like a regular birth? Like no necessarily complications that show up, but how long are people staying in the hospital? Especially like after a C-section.
2 days. They kick you out.
After 2 days.
Even after a C-section?
I think a C-section is 4 days.
That's like major abdominal surgery.
It is.
Major.
No wonder why that extension to a year is super important, though. I mean, you can barely heal from anything.
Can you imagine, if you had any other kind of surgery, how long you... This is the last time we talked to March of Dimes, I got all rowdy. I feel it coming again. No, but that's just crazy. That,
it is.
You know,
it is.
Well, thank you so much.
And then a lot of the issues post-birth have to do with, depression, postpartum depression and things like that, that people don't think about. They're like, oh, you're fine. And they're not. And then there are other complications that arise, like we said.
Yep.
So.
Well, I think that's a good segue to talk about the new campaign, because I love that it's not fine. You know, every time it's just one of those standard things that people ask you a question and they're like, how are you doing? Oh, I'm fine. And we just give that pat answer so often. So talk to us about this campaign and, just tell us about it and how you're trying to get past that point of folks just saying that they are okay.
Yeah. So the campaign is really about what doctors or caretakers are telling women.
Okay.
So when they come in and they feel something, women know their bodies. They know there's something wrong. Even if it's your first time giving birth, you're like, this is not, being pregnant, this doesn't feel right. And a lot of times, doctors and caretakers will tell people, you're fine, you'll be okay, you're fine. So our campaign is to raise awareness of the urgent health crisis moms and babies face, including increased rates of maternal death and preterm birth, as we talked about. So we launched the It's Not Fine, an advocacy and awareness campaign that touches on all those well-meaning, you'll be fine moments. It's Not Fine shows pregnant women and their families that even when things aren't fine, the March of Dimes is here to help.
That's
what the campaign is all about.
And there are so many examples. And I think one of the most prominent ones in the last couple of years was Serena Williams, where, this is a world-class athlete. She knows more than probably most people on the planet knows how her body works.
Yes.
And in and I think if she was on a tennis court or any other place in her life, if she said, this doesn't feel right, you'd have people all around there, because it's like, oh, we can't have our tennis star out there with a bad foot or a bad pinky finger or something. But as soon as she was in that space of giving birth, it was like, you'll be fine.
You'll be fine.
Yeah.
So there was a case a few years ago. The husband's name is Charles Johnson. You know that?
Yeah.
Judge Hatchett's son, his wife actually died after giving birth. She was in California at Cedars Sinai Hospital. She was feeling, she actually had internal bleeding, and she kept saying, something's not right, something's just right, I don't feel okay, something's not right. And a doctor actually told her that you are not a priority right now. There are other patients that are taking priority over you right now. By the time they got to her, the bleeding was, her insides had been taken over with blood, and she ended up passing away like a few hours later. And that was one of those situations, you're fine. You'll be okay. You're just feeling some discomfort after giving birth. And she was not, and she passed away.
Yeah.
So her husband, he has a campaign now, really just raising awareness about that situation.
Yeah. That's, we have heard that story. Many people might have seen him, kind of tell that story. It's just beyond tragic. But then also, there are so many others, and, March of Dimes events the families that you have, the ambassador families, who can tell those stories of, in almost all the cases, the moms are saying, I just knew something wasn't right. Call it whatever you want, people know, being in tune with their body. Maybe it's women's intuition, but knowing that their bodies are not fine, their babies aren't fine. And the science behind it doesn't even need the support. We have facts.
Yes.
We have people who can really point to it and say, I knew this. I knew something. And you hear that all the time, don't you?
We hear it all the time. And in fact, the March of Dimes is working on what we call implicit bias training. Mm-hmm. So this is called implicit bias, mm-hmm. when people are looking at you and you're like, you don't know what you're talking about. You're fine. Everything's okay. So we're looking at doing this training with caregivers, healthcare workers, in terms of understanding when someone's saying that you cannot look at a person and judge and assume you know that they know what they're talking about, or you think they don't know what they're talking about. So
yeah,
implicit bias is another program that we are working on developing.
That's huge.
Yeah,
would imagine that's really big for people. We talk about the numbers, the rates, with mm-hmm. especially among women of color, mm-hmm. whether it's women of lower socioeconomic status, where it might be easier to pass off and say, oh, well, you don't know. You've never done this before, mm-hmm. especially if it's a first baby. Mm-hmm. You don't know what to expect. You don't know what's going on. Yeah. I've seen this 1,000 times, you know. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But being able, and then also helping those moms be able to have the tools to stand up to know, mm-hmm. like, no, this isn't okay. Mm-hmm. This is, you know, and advocate
for yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
So one of the things that I think, you know, the It's Fine campaign definitely focuses on those healthcare, but you could easily take that and apply it to what you all have been doing for the last couple of years, is the grades for the different states and different mm-hmm. communities, and how, what that means to have a baby. And so sadly, we're here to report, because the last time we were talking about Georgia, we had a grade of a D, and now mm-hmm. we're at an F. So
our rates have gone up.
Yes,
so it's not good.
Yes.
So this is a report card that is produced by the March of Dimes. So we produce our own report card, and it's based on, it goes state by state. There are some states in this country that have A's, but down here in the Southeast, a lot of us have an F. And there are a lot of different factors. One of the biggest factors in Georgia is that we have 159 counties. Mm-hmm. 77 of the counties in Georgia do not have a birthing hospital or OBGYNs in their county.
I think this is when it got rowdy.
Yeah. So that is just, so you think of, so we're here in Atlanta and we have 4 or 5 birthing hospitals right here within mm-hmm. 10-mile radius. But you go to rural Georgia and people are driving 2 and 3 counties to get any kind of care. Mm-hmm. And if they're in a county that has a hospital that's not a birthing hospital, then their baby may be delivered by a hospitalist. So if there's a complication, the experts are not there to, you know, take care of the baby or the mother if there's an emergency or a crisis. So that is one of the biggest issues.
Yeah, absolutely. And mm-hmm. then you don't have that continuity of care either. So, no. You know, there, there was a story on the front page of the AJC on Sunday, I think it was, and mm-hmm. covering the fact that there is a dire shortage of OBGYNs in the state. And they mostly covered sort of the rural in poor neighborhoods, but mm-hmm. you know, they touched on race a little bit, but it was really talking, you don't have, and there's one OBGYN that's the guy who probably should be retired mm-hmm. and he's staying there because there's nobody mm-hmm. else and wants to move on, except for the fact that if he does, then that county has nothing. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so the continuity of care for your healthcare provider, I mean, we all probably have our primary care physician. When you are seeing an OBGYN, you want that continuity of care for your baby, because they know the symptoms that you've been going. They know your history.
They know your history.
Yeah.
They know what to expect. And then the other problem is a lot of people who are the OBGYN training, they get tired. Like my OBGYN, she's just doing gynecology right now. She's mm-hmm. like, oh, I'm getting out of obstetrics. I can't do the late hours and being on call and things like that. So they kind of step away from it, where we really need them to continue to do obstetrics as well.
Yeah. Wow. So definitely we're going to talk a little bit more about ways people can get involved. And there is a super simple, easy way for everybody to get involved. And it's coming up soon. So we want to give you information about that. Mm-hmm. So we're going to talk and talk more after the break, and we will be right back with more on March of Dimes. You are listening to The Good Work Show. Audience, welcome back to The Good Work Show. We have been chatting with our friend from March of Dimes, Ms. Hillary Dunson, who is the Senior Development Manager, and talking about, one, we talked about March of Dimes and how it came to be and what we're focusing on now, which is Healthy Moms, Strong Babies, the new campaign, mm-hmm. and really some of the work that March of Dimes has been doing in terms of, we touched on a little bit of advocacy, but mm-hmm. also in supporting in getting the information out there, because a lot of people probably don't know. You know, and someone asked me, or someone told me recently, I mentioned them, that I was, you know, working with March of Dimes in a volunteer capacity, and he said that his mom was an avid supporter of March of Dimes, and he remembered her getting all the dimes. And I think we talk about March of Dimes a lot, but you know, it's not necessarily about the dimes anymore, but it is. So talk to us about the name of it, because I think a lot of people might remember that from, you know, back in the day.
That was their initial campaign in terms of fundraising. You would get these booklets and they would ask you to fill it up with dimes, and I think it was like 10 dimes, so it totaled a dollar. But think about if they got to a huge, you know, community with 1,000 people and everybody turned in a dollar, that's $1,000 fundraised there. So that's how we got the name, and that is why it's important that we talk about the March of Dimes, because when you say the March of Dimes, people are like, what is that? Like, you know what the American Cancer Society is about, and things like that. But March of Dimes, you know, we change our mission because polio was eradicated, so now it's prematurity. But yeah, so that's where the that's how the campaign started.
Yeah, that's right. And you can still collecting give dimes, everybody.
Yeah,
but we just want you to give them in the form of a paper.
In a paper. In
just
paper
more
way.
Of we them.
All more of collect them. Together.
More of them online.
That's right.
Preferably.
That's right. Yes.
But don't go to the website and put in 10 cents. No. Don't do that.
No, don't do it. It probably won't even let you do that. But you will feel great about supporting the March of Dimes, because, again, we talked about, you know, strong moms, healthy babies. And I remember the last time we were talking about it, and probably at some events, but everybody's a March of Dimes baby. Everybody, I mean, if you are here, you
absolutely,
there are, your mom went through a pregnancy and she and a childbirth, and you grew up, and so,
and truly none of us have polio.
That is true. Yes.
You know,
so we're all have benefited from March of Dimes in some way. And there's a way that people can, there's many ways that people can give back. But there's one big one coming up. Talk to us about the March for Babies and what the goal is for Atlanta, because it is a big goal, but we have a low score. So everybody, so think about that. Mm-hmm. We're at an F. How do we move the needle on that? And March for Babies is one of those ways, right?
Yep. So March for Babies is our biggest campaign that the March of Dimes has. And we're right in the smack in the middle of March for Babies season, as you know. Elaine was at our kickoff on Sunday, which was at Mercedes-Benz of Buckhead, their showroom. They held that for us. So we are in the throes of March for Baby season. And so this is what we call our fundraising season. People have teams. We have corporate teams, civic teams, family teams. People pull together teams of about 10 people, and they raise money for the March of Dimes. And then it's culminated with a walk that we have on May 2nd, 2020, this year. And it's actually our 50th anniversary, so we're excited. It's 50th anniversary of March for Babies. And it's a 5K walk that will be held in historic Fourth Ward Park. It's a fun event. It's kind of a festival-type event. And then there's a 5K in between. And then we have events before the walk and after the walk. The way you can sign up is marchforbabies.org/event/Atlanta. And the Atlanta walk is the largest walk in the southeastern region, so we're really excited about that. We have over 6,000 people that attend, and our goal this year is to raise $1 million.
Wow.
So we're at $250,000 now, so we just have $750,000 to go. So,
well, I haven't made my
donation. We need y'all to help.
Yet.
You can get us a half a million.
You can get us a half a million. We'd appreciate that. So it's easy to sign up, just like on that link that I said, and sign up as a team captain, and then recruit 10 people to be on your team. Ask them each to raise $50, $100, set your goal, and, you know, then you're off. And we have incentives for people that hit certain levels. And it's a fun day. You get a T-shirt. You get all that stuff. We have it's also a family fun day. It's a family walk. People are there with strollers, with their dogs, everything. We have a kids zone. We have a family teams tent, a family tent, and different things like that for people to do. Publix is one of our huge supporters. They actually donate food. They volunteer.
Is there Publix cake?
No. Publix bananas.
Yeah. Yes. And fruit. Yeah, there was a yes.
Publix fruit, bananas, and water.
And water and nice and healthy things.
Okay.
Yeah. Publix.
Northside and Northside Hospital is our big presenting sponsor, and WellStar is our platinum sponsor. So,
yeah.
A lot of hospital support.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So, are we doing the superhero sprint again?
Yes, we are. The superhero sprint is it's a little race that we have. It's like a 100-yard dash for babies who graduated out of the NICU. So the NICU is the neonatal ICU, which a lot of the babies, you know, have made it through. So NICU, if they make it through the NICU, we call them NICU grads. So we do a superhero sprint. They have little purple capes, and they run a 100-yard dash right before the 5K. So
yeah, it's super fun and very cute. And, and they are superheroes.
They are superheroes, yes.
They made it through the NICU.
Absolutely, yeah. So important.
So when we raise this $1 million, because it's going to happen, obviously.
Sure,
yes.
Mm-hmm. Talk to us a little bit about the other research that the March of Dimes is doing. Because it's not just about advocacy, and it's not just about kind of counting the results. You're also helping to continue to push that. I mean, you fixed polio. So did that.
Yep.
So what is the next thing on the horizon when it comes to the actual research that's going on to help improve the lives of moms and babies?
So we have done. So first, I want to start with kind of what we're doing locally. So locally, one of the biggest things that we have is what we call a NICU family support specialist. So right here in Atlanta Medical Center, we have a NICU family support employee that's an employee of the March of Dimes, and they work within the hospital, and they help families who experienced who have a baby in the NICU. So they kind of educate them, do a little counseling, that kind of thing. So those, some of those dollars go directly to help that person's salary. We also have and we've given $250,000 to the Grady Hospital Foundation, and they actually have an Angel II ambulance, which is a neonatal transport for babies. If the baby's in at Grady and there's some complications and maybe they need to go to CHOA, that ambulance will use will be used to transport them. Now, some of the research we've done, we developed a new blood test for women that the blood test women will take when they're pregnant, and it'll help determine if they're going to have a preterm birth or not.
Wow.
Yes. And then there's also what we call a newborn screening, which is done on the mother while the baby's in her stomach. These screenings are done to determine, again, if the baby is going to be premature. Because if you know in advance you're going to have a premature birth, you can do things for the mother, like put them on bed rest, different things like that to reduce, to help the baby go full term. So
yeah,
those are some of the things we're doing.
Yeah, huge.
Yeah, and super important, because not only having the bed rest, which is important, but also being able to prepare. So you can prepare your home, you can prepare your family, but then, you know, when you have premature babies, there's also, you know, there may be complications with respiratory, or you, there's just so many things that you need to plan for. And if you have that information in advance, the technology is such that we can now know, then you can definitely plan for that. Food just could be, I mean, you may have to, there are different ways that babies have to eat when they're premature. So all those things are super important to know ahead of time.
And I think the other thing is psychologically. I have our last ambassador family from last year. Their baby was in the NICU for 15 months.
Wow.
And she said that she'd done everything she was supposed to. Everything was normal. And she had her the baby was born early. Mackenzie, who's 14 and thriving right now. But her mom told me, she said, I was home. You know, I went to the hospital to have Mackenzie. And, you know, I was expecting to go home with a baby.
Right.
She said, I was 15 months. It was 15 months and she was not home. She said there were days where I was just crying because I had a nursery set up. I had all this stuff and I couldn't even bring my baby home. So it's also psychological. If you know, like, okay, baby may be premature. You know, let's just plan. Let's just know that she's not coming home with us or he's not coming home with us. So that was, when she told me that, I mean, it just hit me because my babies were not premature. I was blessed and they both came home with me in 2 days.
Just 2 days.
But I just could imagine that feeling. You have all these plans and then.
And you go through all of
you
the
go through
stuff.
All of the stuff.
And then you're like, eh.
Yeah. But yeah.
Well, then
like,
I have to go to asking you about it too.
Yeah,
you
know? You just get in the car and go home the way you came. It feels like you went through a whole lot. And
it feels, There's something about that feeling. So if you know in advance, at least, you know, you can kind of prepare for that.
I was jaundiced when I was born. My mother, that was the one thing my mom said. She's like, I'm not living here without my baby. So either I'm going to stay here.
Wow. Yeah.
Or.
So did they let her stay all the whole time?
They didn't kick her out over the 2 days.
No, they left, but they're like, all right, so you're going to take the little baby home. And she was a little yellow. I was a little yellow because I was jaundiced. And they stuck me in the window. I mean, we lived in South Florida. So that's what they did. But she was like, I'm not leaving this hospital without my baby.
Yeah.
I can imagine that. that would be
it's
a big deal.
Yeah. It's emotional.
So definitely love the work that March of Dimes is doing. We got March for Babies coming up May 2nd. Any if folks are, and they should definitely support that with a team or a sponsorship or both, and then come out for the walk. Other opportunities for them to plug in. Really, they can donate at any point, right?
So yes, you can donate at any point. I mean, we take donations year round. And then we actually have 14 walks going on within the Atlanta metro area. The Atlanta one is the largest walk. Mm-hmm. They're out in, you know, we have one in Cobb County, we have them in Forsyth, North Fulton, Hall County, all over. You can go on our website and figure out where all the other walks are. And then we have several special events that are coming up. We have Atlanta Women of Distinction, which is in the fall, and then Nurse of the Year, which is in November. And we always love to take donations, especially for the hospitals, in November, which is Prematurity Awareness Month. That's another great, we do a big push then.
Absolutely.
For donations as well.
Fantastic. Mm-hmm. Well, Hillary, thank you so much for the work that you're doing for March of Dimes and just continuing to fight for moms and babies, because without moms and babies, where are the rest of us going to be? Right. That's it.
That's a wrap.
So you would want to support moms and babies. I'm just saying. Otherwise, there is no us. So thank you so much for coming by.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. You are listening to The Good Work Show. Audience, and welcome back to The Good Work Show. We are excited because we got a special guest in the house, Eileen Price, who is the CEO of In the City Camps. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's so awesome to be here.
Absolutely. So tell us all about In the City Camps and your mission.
All right. So I started In the City Camps 8 summers ago because I have 4 children. And I thought, when I thought of my best memories of childhood, it was always from camp. Mm-hmm. And I really wanted to recreate that for my children. And I thought, how hard could it really be to start a camp? Yeah. It's appropriate to laugh because it's so much work, but so amazing. Mm-hmm. And our whole premise is that we are a Jewish day camp that is completely inclusive and welcomes everybody. And we are a day camp that replicates the magic of overnight camp, allowing kids to experience the personal growth, the cultural growth, creating community, and then going home and sharing it with their families at night, where at overnight camp, you don't get to do that. Yeah. The real reason I did that also is when I did more research, I learned that 90% of the marketplace isn't going to go to overnight camp. They can't afford it. Mm-hmm. It's not appropriate for their child. And I felt like, why should 90% of the marketplace miss out on the growth that happens in the summer? So we've gone from 65 unique users to 800 in 8 summers. Wow. From one location to 3 locations.
That's fantastic.
That is fantastic. So speaking as a kid who grew up with 2 educators as parents, so they had summers off, so I never went to camp. Because, you know,
yeah,
we did family stuff on the vacation. Tell us a little bit about why you think summer camps are important. Like what? So you talked about growth and that kind of stuff, but what are kids, just any, not just necessarily your camp, but just the idea of going to camp. What does that, what do you get out of it?
Sure. So I think summer is a time where there is tremendous growth opportunities, but parents don't necessarily see it because it's not a formal education setting. Mm-hmm. And I often say, like, would you want your future leader laying on the couch playing mm-hmm. video games? Because that's probably what's happening right now, unless they're in a supervised environment. Mm. So what I think, or what I know is happening at camp, is they are learning the important skill of resiliency, which today in the world, most children don't have an opportunity to learn. Collaboration, communication skills, responsibility, independence. And then also how to be a part of a greater community. Who are you? How do you fit into that? Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's important for kids to have these experiences if we want our future leaders to be strong and resilient. And in today's world, we need those skills desperately. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So tell us, how do you teach those skills? So what are the types of activities that the kids are doing at the camp when you're talking about resiliency or communication or leadership?
Sure. Okay. Well, first of all, what we decided to do was that we looked around at all the camps out there. And what we saw was that most people were not giving campers choice in their activities. So if you go to a specialty camp, you're doing that. Mm. But if you're just at a regular camp, they're telling you, here's what you're going to do. So what we decided was to flip the model on its head and allow the child to drive their experience. So every day there are four activity choices. In Hebrew, we call them pe'ulot, but it just means an activity choice. In all of those activity options, there are adults who are specialists in their field teaching the activity. So the child is opting in and growing and learning. And in that, you're seeing a lot of self-advocation, communication skills. It is mixed age and mixed gender because we have so much happening on campus. Mm-hmm. And then you're getting to either be the leader or the learner or the teacher. And so you're playing a lot of roles as you're a child at our camp. So that's one way we do it. Every Wednesday, we take a community field trip. Sometimes we'll take 9 buses to an activity. Again, we have staff that are starting 10th grade and up. So while we do have a lot of adult staff, we're empowering the next generation to give it back to the generation kind of coming their way. And so that, for me, is the quintessential relationship that we have at camp, is the camper counselor. Like, if your counselor's cool and they're kind and they care, you're going to and try to emulate that. So those are just some ways that we do it. And if you get to an activity and you don't like it, we'll teach you to self-advocate. Like, I tried this. So my favorite story is my fourth kid tried yoga, because every week they have to try something they've never done. And my son came back and he's like, "I hate yoga. Did you know you have to be quiet?" And we're like, Yeah, that's the whole premise. And he's like, "Well, why would I ever want to do something where I'm not, you know, with my friends and being loud?" And I was like, okay, you know, but like, next time you'll self-advocate, and but you have to have a reason, and we have to help you think through that. Because the world is just so confusing right now, and like, we owe it to these kids to connect with them and to really help them become the best version of themselves.
Yeah, that's great. So outside of yoga, what else is happening at camp? Like, I think, so my experience of camp, I told you, is like reading Babysitter Club books, like when they went to camp. So I'm like, Archery, canoeing, arts and crafts, horseback riding, swimming. Like, these are the things I just,
Ropes, that's course, so it was real. Yeah. Gaga, every type of sport you can think of. Krav Maga, gymnastics, dancing, cooking, culinary arts, steam, you name it.
I want to go to camp.
Yeah. You must come visit, both of you. Seriously, come visit. That's so fun.
One of the locations, one of those locations is like, I can walk there from my house. So,
what we do is we have, our core facility is out of the Weber School, which is in Sandy Springs, and we have a long-term partnership with them.
I can walk there, so I'll stop
by. That's great, and we run there mostly all summer. But then we have pop-up locations. And the reason we do that is because we don't want to spend any donor money on a facility. There's lots of unused facilities in the summer around our city. So it also allows us to move when our population moves. So this summer, we're actually popping up at Mary Lynn Elementary. And APS continues to be a great partner. And then we're actually going to be at the Standard Club in North Fulton this summer for the first time. So, but we'll have a core base at the Weber School. And we offer free busing around the city, knowing that traffic around here is a nightmare. But for us, the party starts on the bus. And so campers ride our free bus and they connect with kids outside of their age range and get to meet new staff. And they love it.
Now, even though it's not an overnight camp, do they still have like a group that you kind of roll with? So like, do you have like your bunk mates?
You have a bunk.
Okay, you do.
And your bunk is your...
Do you like really have a bunk or like?
You have a bunk. What we do is we take classrooms, clean everything out, turn it into a bunk. So like,
that's really cool.
You name your bunk. You have your senior counselor and your junior counselors, and you have your community.
Everything except spend the night.
Yeah, everything.
Okay.
Yeah, I can do this.
Yeah, you should do it. You should sign up to be a counselor.
I want to be a camper.
You just want to do.
Maybe we should do that. Yeah.
Could you imagine like adult? Well, they actually, there are adult camps. Yeah. And I think about it a lot because I'm like, I feel like I would appreciate like naps. I feel like you appreciate stuff a lot better.
It's too much outside. No, but the camp, but the bunk is inside the classroom.
The bunk is inside.
I'm not going to sleep
outside every hour.
But that's kind of like camp, though.
Each of you could be happy at our camp, though, because we have indoor and outdoor activities.
Okay.
You can choose.
And we can choose. That's the selection. This is not like a prescribed list of this is what everybody's doing today.
Who wants to do what everybody's doing?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's true. So tell us about the food at camp.
Okay, so at camp, mostly you bring your own food.
Okay.
Yeah. Because there's a lot of allergies today.
Yes.
And I want parents to feel safe with their child. Anything that we provide at camp is both kosher, because we want anybody in the Jewish community to feel like they can eat. Mm-hmm. And then we do everything we can to accommodate. With that being said, we have this concept, which is canteen, and that happens kind of at overnight camp. When you go to your rest hour, they send you home with a candy bar. Mm-hmm. So we didn't want to do the candy bar thing, but every child brings a dollar. And throughout the day, you get to decide, when do you want to spend your dollar? What healthy-ish snack are you going to purchase from canteen? You can kind of go with your friend and bring it back to your bunk during a break time. So really trying to make all those elements. But yeah, there's not a lot of food provided.
But you still get to spend that dollar, which is for a lot of kids, that should probably be fun.
Oh my gosh, it is the biggest joy for them. Yeah. Imagine your parent giving you a dollar and saying like, I don't really care what you buy.
Right.
Because we've already curated it. So it's like,
so anything there's good.
Yeah.
No hot dogs on a stick at a campfire.
No.
No s'mores.
Only at winter camp.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Oh, so there's a winter camp.
We do winter camp at the Weber School.
Oh,
1 to 2 weeks over the Christmas break.
Okay. So tell us about dates and how people find out, because
it's time.
Yeah, it's time.
People are looking.
So we run the month of June at Maryland Elementary. Then we run the month of July up in North Fulton at the Standard Club. And then all summer is basically at the Weber location. You can go onto our website at www.inthecitycamps.org and sign up. And we give away scholarship. We want to make camp affordable and accessible for everybody who wants to enjoy camp. We are incredibly inclusive. So we encourage families who might not have found the right safe place for their child to call us and see if we could be a good fit for them. The more diverse our community is, the more we can all grow and, you know, all become better people. So that's kind of how we see it.
Fantastic. And what are the age ranges? Yeah.
We do kindergarten through sixth grade.
Okay.
And then we actually have a business program, which is on our website as well, for seventh, eighth, and ninth graders. And then children rising 10th graders are encouraged to work for us, and we pay really well. And I mention that because usually in the nonprofit space, they don't necessarily pay well, mm-hmm. but I really value this next generation. And we have a 60% staff retention rate. So once the kids come, they stay with us. We're able to help matriculate them up and then hopefully help them get real jobs when they're done with college. Nice. So kind of rooting for our community in that way.
Is there transportation for the counselors?
Yes, counselors are able to ride on the bus, and often we will compensate them to be a bus counselor.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. So lots of ways to get involved. So inthecitycamps.org is the website. And deadline for submission for this year?
I would encourage anybody who's interested in working to ASAP. Okay. And some of the bunks are already filled, but go on our website or give us a call and let us try to help you.
All right. So time is running out. So
I know. It's like earlier and earlier. It's like first day of school. Sign up for camp. Like,
It's time.
You got to plan for it.
You can sign up by the week, by the day, by the month. We're incredibly flexible.
Okay. Fantastic. Cool. Well, thank you so much, Eileen, for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Telling us all about In the City Camp. So don't forget, the website is inthecitycamps.org. They've got three locations. Summertime is coming up. You got to make your plans. All age ranges, and even for the older kids who want to use it as summer employment. Great opportunity for that. So thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you. This was awesome.
You are listening to The Good Work Show.